Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to New Blue. As before, while I'm away doing the research for the rest of Murder Mile, this is a three-part series about Paul, my friend who is a Metropolitan policeman, and we're diving into what it's like to actually be a real policeman. In part one, we looked at his training. In part two, we looked at his firsts. And in this episode, the final episode, we're going to look into what it's like every day to be a policeman. As before, this is an unedited interview, so feel free to join me afterwards for a little extra mile and a quiz. From the start, there is a sound of beers being slurped, so if you don't like that, maybe fast forward a bit. And of course, there are some blue words and some opinions which don't fully reflect the police. This episode also contains frequent burps from Police Constable Arsenal Guinness. Not major ones, just little windy pops. And now, on with the show.
Recording New Blue 3 version 2. You're welcome. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
No, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
No, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Oh, Paul, do stop.
All right, then.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. This is New Blue 3, and let's start with a familiar sound. Oh, yours wasn't as fizzy. Or poppy. Or...
Yeah, mine was a bit premature, wasn't it? Story of my life.
I think it happens with old age, because we are old now. We are old.
I'm slightly older, but not by much.
Stay young and beautiful. Is this how we're meant to start, part three?
I really don't know, but I'm thinking of sectioning you, so...
Could you do... Here's an interesting question.
Go on, then.
We're mates.
Yeah.
No, that's the question. Question mark.
Yes.
You can obviously arrest me, but is there something against you arresting someone that you know, for like family, friends?
You can recuse yourself from the case.
Okay.
So I haven't had the situation, but I have had friends who have been in a situation whereby, let's say, a piss up in a pub, and you go down to sort it out, and people are. There's like a fray or assault, and you are drawn to the attention of a balding gentleman in the corner, and then the barman says that's the guy who punched first, and you go up and I go, oh, Michael, hi. I can recuse myself. I can say I know this person. I'm not willing to arrest.
Can you only do that if there's another policeman around?
Yeah. The reason being that I don't want to nick my mate. Yeah. It's just like, I know you. So
it would look bad at court.
So, an annoying defence witness could say, "Well, the reason that my client was arrested by Constable Arsenal Guinness was that 3 years ago my client kissed his bird, or I'm using a vernacular. I don't normally speak like that. kissed his bird, or didn't pay back a loan, or pranged his car. You know, they could say that there's a reason behind it." Or someone might say, well, I don't really want you arresting your friend, because you might go easy on your friend and decide that it's not that crime, it's a lesser crime. So there's no reason why I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But more often than not, you'd recuse yourself and say, I can't do this, I know the person involved.
So that's probably a big reason why you decided not to be a policeman in your own borough.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Interesting. I'm glad we kind of stumbled across that one.
I've stumbled across you many a time. Anyway, carry on.
So what is the average day for you as a policeman?
I wake up, I go to work, I come home. Hey, that was a great episode. Anyway, back to it. Now, my average day at work. Right, well, I'm quite anal. By that, I mean OCD, not anything else. I like to try and be in an hour before my shift starts.
Yeah.
So it just means I can get changed, get myself sorted. Mm-hmm. I can have a look through my emails, of which there's normally many, many, many emails.
What would be standard emails?
Well, there's several emails we get on a regular basis. People who are missing.
Okay.
We're informed of anyone who's missing on our borough, just so we have a picture and details in case we're in that area or we see them.
Yeah.
Any criminal intelligence, let's say stolen cars.
Okay.
Or certain things are happening in certain areas to keep an eye out for. Obviously, if you've got court cases going on, any updates on them. And you deal with all your investigations. So there might be an email from a victim saying, oh, by the way, from that burglary, I also realised this was stolen.
Oh.
Or they might be asking you what's going on. So things like that.
Yeah.
Whenever a law changes that's relevant to us, obviously during coronavirus, because the laws for coronavirus changed every 5 bloody minutes, we're informed of all updates of that. And anything that's relevant, you know, because it is an office environment, so you might get an email saying there's going to be a power shortage on Tuesday, or we need to clean the locker room on this day, you know, anything like that. So you like to catch up with all of them, because you never know what your shift is going to be. Every day is different.
Oh, wow.
So you might come into a shift and there's no calls for an hour. So you could have done your emails then.
Yeah.
Or you can leave everything to it, and then as soon as 7 o'clock, it's like, right, bang, you need to go there, you need to go there. There's another call out there. Because it's not just about the calls that we take. There might be a crime scene. There might be someone who's been arrested who needs to go to hospital. You have to look after him in hospital. There might be a victim that needs to be looked after in hospital. There's things we call constant watches. So if someone's in custody but needs to be watched all the time, you have to literally sit in front of their cell and watch them.
I've seen that, where you kind of have an officer on a chair, the doors open, and they're just...
Yeah, just watching them.
Wow. And how long do you have to do that for?
I've done that for a whole shift. So I've done that for 9 hours.
Are you able to go, like, Lulu?
Yeah, you normally, because we're in pairs, you would what we call self-relieve, which just sounds wrong. So I might do an hour, and then you'll do an hour, and things like that. So, yeah. And there's loads of situations where you might... So when we come in, so let's say it's a morning, it's an early shift, so I'll aim to get in for 6 in the morning, get myself sorted, have a cup of tea, fag.
Nice. Pint of Guinness?
Maybe a beer. and then you have parade, so at 7 o'clock, the sergeants and the inspector will come out.
Is that like marching? Or?
No, it's just called parade, it's briefing. And they will go through anything that's pertinent, if something's happened overnight, or... Okay. If there's been intelligence, something's going to happen during the day. And then they'll give you your postings for the day. So it'll tell you who's doing what. So you have your pandas, you have your IRVs, which are the response cars. You have your van, which I told you about in the last episode. You also have appointment cars. So people who've rung in where it might not be an urgent case, an emergency situation, but police do have to attend. So you arrange to come around their house. You have a security car, a bomb car.
Yeah.
So they go over certain checkpoints within your borough that might be of interest to terrorist activity, just to check that they're okay and things like that.
And that's a daily thing?
Yeah, that's a daily thing.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Didn't know that. I didn't know whether that was just for special events, like heading up to...
No. That's for all the time.
Wow.
But if you think about it, depending on what borough you're on, there might be... I mean, I'm not. But if you're Westminster, you've got the whole House of Parliament, you've got all the tourist spots.
Yeah.
If you're Lambeth, you have like the Millennium Eye and things like that. If you're Camden or any of the other central boroughs, you've got loads of points like Waterloo, Waterloo, King's Cross, Euston, all the major stations.
Yeah.
So obviously you have British Transport Police who aren't part of us, but they police the station. We would police the area around the station.
Talking about shifts, this is an interesting thing. So you're here with me now, and it's 8 o'clock. And
is it?
I know, we're whizzing through it. And, it's soon it'll be my bedtime, but you were on night shift last night.
Yes, I was, yes.
So what are the shifts and how do you cope with the change in shifts?
Right. The normal pattern for my team at the moment is you have 6 days on and 4 days off. So the first 2 days are early. So that's from 7 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The next 2 days are late. So that's from 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And then the next 2 days are nights. So that's from 10 o'clock at night till 7 o'clock in the morning. So once you've done those 6 days, you get 4 days off. But obviously that first day...
Sleeping.
You're sleeping.
Wow.
But your body adjusts. I mean, I somehow... And I'm an exception. I'm going to say exception to the rule. Most people are much more normal than I am. But I normally survive on about 4 hours a night. So after a night shift, I will aim to get in. Once I've got home, got changed, got home, if there's been nothing that's kept us late... Ideally, I'll probably be home around 8, half 8. And then I find myself quite wired. Yeah. Unless I've done a lot of strenuous activity, I'm quite wired. So I'll just sit and watch a bit of telly. And then aim to go to bed for about 9, half 9. And the thing is, because I deliberately try not to. Unless, of course, it's for Michael and it's for the wonderful Murder Mile Trooper.
Thank you very much, Paul.
I deliberately try not to plan anything for my first rest day.
Mm-hmm.
So, because you just don't know. Sometimes I've got into bed, I don't set an alarm. So I'll get into bed and I'll wake up at 2 and get on with my day. I've had days where I've got into bed and woken up at 7 in the night.
Wow.
I'm just like, but the thing is, you don't want to ruin your rest days.
Mm.
So you don't want to put your brain completely out of kilter. Because the days that I will sleep until 7,
yeah,
I'll get up and I'll... deliberately try and do something that will make me want to go to sleep at a relatively normal time. Otherwise, I'll just be like sitting there at 3 o'clock in the morning going, you know, what's happening? And that just screws up the rest of your rest days.
Wow. So when you have rest days, is that sacrosanct? Does the boss go, right, that's your rest day, that's fine, you sleep in, have a good sleep, good night?
It is sacrosanct, but the very nature of what we do, as I know you want to talk about things like if you're the officer in the case that's going to court,
mm-hmm,
and that court date falls within your rest days, you're going to court. There's no question about it. Unless, obviously, you're on holiday or you've given them a reason. And, yeah, so your rest days, you're left to your own devices. But if something, heaven forbid, awful happens, like London Bridge incident a couple of years ago when I was in training, Grenfell, again, sadly happened when I was in training. Before that, things like the riots and the Tottenham riots and 7-7.
God.
Do
they just call you up and go, you're on duty now? What happens in
the
situation?
I've never had a situation, touch wood, while I've been in that's been as bad as that. Talking to colleagues, I think your just natural thing is, I'm just going to get into work. You just go into work. You might get a call, depending on your level of skills, if it's the public order training I've talked about previously or you're a response driver. But I think the majority of people would probably, unless they had a reason not to, just go to work, get your uniform on and go into the supervisor's office and go, right, what can I do? Where can I go?
Right.
But again, there's no reason why you have to.
Yeah.
I don't think. I'll gladly be corrected by one of your listeners if I'm wrong, but I don't think you can go, I'm staying at home.
Yeah.
But I think the nature of, if you're the kind of person who wants to do the job, something like that comes in, you know, Even if you know what can I do, they'll probably put me directing traffic 3 miles away from the scene. You're doing something that's helping. So
yeah, have you done that before? Directing traffic, is that part of the job?
I have had to direct traffic a couple of times. I remember once on my borough, I think a bus went into a lamppost and just put the lamppost across the road and took out most of the traffic lights. And I spent 4 hours with me and a colleague just in a lane each, literally just going, you know. Come, stop.
God.
Just turning ourselves into traffic lights for 4 hours.
I guess that's it. Is every day unpredictable?
Yeah.
Or are there elements that are predictable?
There's elements that are predictable. When you hear a call come out, it makes you sound very jaded, but you'll hear a call come out to a certain address or involving a certain person, and you know how it's going to happen.
Okay.
You hear a call come out of the allegation of an incident, and you know what's going to happen. But just because you know what's going to happen doesn't mean that's how it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And no day is the same. No day is the same.
So I take it you get a lot of the same faces again and again.
You do get to know a few...
legends?
Characters, shall we say. Yeah, you do get to know a few people who are just... You will either come across them while you're out in the car, or you'll get a call. We have a few on our borough. We have a few regular hoax callers.
Okay.
And when a certain call comes out in a certain area, the first thing you do is you go on the radio and go, "Can I just ask the name of the person who's called this in?" And they'll say that name, and you'll just go, "We'll go, but we know it's rubbish."
Yeah.
I mean, you still have to go because it's the boy who cried wolf. Yeah. That one time you go, "Do you know what? Michael has rung in again. I'm not going." And then the next day you're like, "Oh, did you hear about what happened after you went home? We ran around Michael's house and this had happened." So you still go, but you have a view of how the situation will occur.
Is dealing with people with drugs and drug issues a big part of your job?
A lot of our job is mental health issues.
Okay.
Domestic issues and drugs. It sounds like that means it's all the same. It's not. No two things are the same. But, yeah. We do have to... I'll be diplomatic. We do have to be mental health nurse, paramedic, social worker, much more than we should be.
Mm.
But it is what it is.
Should that really be your job? Shouldn't there be a mental health team?
It shouldn't be our job at all, but the mental health teams and the paramedics, everyone's swamped.
But shouldn't really be the paramedics' job, really? There should be a designated mental health...
There is a designated mental health team, but just inundated, and they haven't got enough staff. It's an unavoidable issue of our job.
Yeah.
There's a saying that's said by most of the old sweats who've been policemen for ages, which is the job's fucked. You know, just imagine someone with a very thinly rolled up cigarette just going, "Fucking job's fucked, mate. Job's fucked." The job has been fucked for years, but most of them have. It is what it is.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have to do half the stuff we do, but we have to because there's nobody else to do it.
Yeah.
And that's not saying that other, like the London Fire Brigade or the London Ambulance Service or mental health services or whatever borough you work in are rubbish. They're just in exactly the same boat.
Yeah.
And it's just the nature of the beast.
Underfunded and understaffed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have to go to court?
Yes, I have to go to court. On a semi-regular basis. I did have a period where I was seconded to another team where I was dealing with domestic violence.
Wow.
So that involved a lot of going to court with victims and suspects, obviously. I've been to most levels of court so far.
God. So what are the different types of court that you go to?
Well, we have magistrates' court.
Yeah.
We have crown court. We have coroner's court.
Okay.
There are other levels like the Old Bailey. I've never had to go there, thankfully, because of the kind of cases they deal with. And the Royal Courts of Justice. And there's family court where people go with, custody disputes and the like. But yeah, I've been to Crown, Magistrates and Coroner's Court.
Okay, so when you turn up... Sorry, my microphone popped off my chest because of my big fat belly.
And his breasts. And his copious breasts, listeners.
And we all know where that comes from. That comes from cake.
Cake and Caffrey's tonight. Tonight's podcast is sponsored by Caffrey's.
Thank God as well. So we've got the three different types of main court. What is your role when you're asked to go there? And when are you asked to go there?
You're asked to go there in several situations. Mostly you're there as officer in the case. So that means that you might have arrested, you might have dealt with the investigation. You're also asked there to be a witness in several different layers. You might be that you witnessed a further crime that happened. Mm-hmm. It might be that you actually saw the initial crime. You can also be called as what they call an expert witness. So that might be in a drugs case. That might be in a case involving someone being drunk and disorderly. Most of the time when someone is arrested for drunk and disorderly, they're put in a cell for the night to sober up, and then they're given a penalty notice the next morning.
Okay.
Unless there's a reason not to. That might mean that they said something of a racial or homophobic nature, or that while they were drunk they caused criminal damage, or they assaulted someone, whatever the case may be. So you're called as an expert witness to say, why was this person intoxicated? I know that sounds like a strange thing, that person was intoxicated because they had 17 pints. But some people can hold their booze, some people can't. You're there to say, in your opinion as a police officer, this person was intoxicated, whatever the case may be. Things like drink drive. Obviously, automatically, if you turn up at someone who drove their car into a tree, got out of the car and is pissed as a fart,
yeah,
then you are a witness to the crime. And as a police officer, you're an expert witness. Mm. So things like that. Unfortunately, a lot of the time, you know, I've seen officer colleagues assaulted. I've been assaulted myself, but nothing. Yeah, I got a very light slap on the arm, but I've seen friends get a lot worse. So you're a witness to an offence, yeah. So you can be called as that. So yeah, there's loads of different ways you can be called to court.
What? So this is going to sound like a weird question, but do you have a preference between the courts?
Yes, I do. I prefer Crown Court.
Okay.
Crown Court is of a higher level, so more serious crimes. And when you go to Crown Court, everything is very formal. That's where you'll see the solicitors wearing the black gowns and the wigs.
Do they say, "I put it to you"?
Yes, they do. It's wonderful. "I put it to you, Officer Constable."
That he was a bounder and a cad.
Yes, I've heard of that as well. But it's very straightforward because they have all the facts of the case. They are very much, and you have a judge and a jury.
Mm.
They will literally, it's quite straightforward for an officer because you will get into the stand and they'll say, "Are you Officer so-and-so? Were you here at this time? Did you arrest for this? Did you do this because of this and that?" So it's very much formal. You still get cross-examined by the defence, but if the prosecutor's done their job correctly,
yeah,
you can just go, "Well, I'll refer to my last answer." Magistrates Court is slightly lower level crimes.
What, like, as an example?
You might get common assault in there, okay, theft, things like that. Public order cases like a fray, where basically a fray and things like that are when you go to, for argument's sake, outside a pub on a high street and there's just been a drunken brawl.
Okay.
So there might not be many bruised faces, but loads of people have made tits of themselves.
Is that a legal term?
They made a tit of themselves, yes. Oh, it is, yes. I think illegally it's make a breast of themselves.
Oh,
Or, you know, well, from my mammary anyway.
Hey!
Used to do comedy, you know. so that's a bit more... I'm not a fan because you have to go in there and know everything about a case that you might have attended up to three years previously. And you just have to have everything there and then. There is no jury in a magistrate's court.
Okay.
There is... either a magistrate or magistrates, so there's three. There's a tribunal, if you like, a bit more X factor to it.
Yeah. And do they give you information in advance so you can go off and research?
Oh yes, yeah. You're given your court warning, so okay, you know it's coming up. Normally, as early as they possibly can, so that you can prepare yourself for the case. Magistrates Court, because you have to come in and off the cuff remember everything.
Yeah,
it is sometimes not daunting. But you realise that if you get something wrong, a good defence lawyer could jump on that. Mm. There's nothing more galling than having someone who is, for want of a better phrase, bang to rights, mm, and see them walk, mm, because of something that you got wrong.
Mm.
I know this sounds very glib, but if someone else gets something wrong, you're annoyed, but you're like, "Well, I've done everything I can." But if you go in there and screw something up and then they go, "Right, well, the reasons this is happening is because Constable Arsenal Guinness couldn't provide this." You're, yeah, like, "Well, hands up, I've screwed up." And there's coroner's court, which isn't always nice because by the very nature of it, you're dealing with an inquest, so it could be into a suicide. You know, it's a death of a loved one and the family are all there. And at the end of one of the last things of a coroner's court is the coroner can throw questions into the people in court.
Mm.
So they can ask you questions about, you know, you might have found, you know, a loved one of theirs dead through for whatever reason. And, you know, you've got to try and talk to very distraught family members, so it's not nice.
God, that must be really stressful.
Yeah, but again, it's very much like any walk of life in what I do, is that as long as you're prepared and as long as you know that you've done everything you possibly can,
yeah,
you know, it's you know, it's not nice, but you can walk away not necessarily with your head held high and go, "Look, they had a question, I had an answer."
Yeah.
It might not have been the answer that they wanted to hear.
Yeah.
It might not have been a nice answer, but it's the best answer I can give nonetheless.
Mm. Going back to your original training, we were talking about that you had to remember all the legal stuff.
Yes.
In your job, Let's say, for example, you're going to arrest me under section...
The Dirty Old Man Act, yes.
Exactly. Well, later. Yeah. How do you remember all of that?
You don't have to remember everything. It's a bit like the caution that I spoke about in the last episode. If I'm arresting you for theft, all I have to do is say that I'm arresting you for theft. When I do my notes later, I may include... you know, the theft act, the year of the act, the section of the act. For argument's sake, burglary.
Yeah.
Could be 91A and 91B of the theft act.
Okay.
Depending on the nature of it. I'm not going to bore you or your listeners with it. But I will still just arrest for burglary.
Do you have to get it right at that moment?
As long as I do that. If I'm nicking you for theft.
Yeah.
If I'm nicking you for... theft from the person of another, so yeah. You're a pickpocket.
Yeah.
And I've found you. I've literally walked. I've been working a parade, like trooping of the colour or something like that. And I've seen you dip your hand in a pocket and take someone's wallet.
Yeah.
I've seen you commit theft.
Okay.
So I will grab you and I will say I'm arresting you for theft because on, let's say you did it now. So on the 8th of September 2021 at, funny enough, 2021. Mm-hmm. I saw you here with Troop in the Colour, so Horse Guards Parade.
Yeah.
I saw you take a wallet from the pocket of a person in front of you. The reasons for the arrest, and then that's it. So I've given you grounds. I don't have to go into Section 9, Subsection 4, blah, 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 of this Act, 1842, blah, blah. But if I write my notes, I might do that. If that went to court, what would happen is... court might try to quiz me by going right under what section, but because I've already arrested, I've done everything. I've had you're charged, you're in court. I will sit down and make sure I know that. But at the time, I just have to know the basics.
If say you're going to arrest someone for something, is there someone you can turn to ask advice to go, what are the crimes that I need to arrest them for?
Yeah, I mean, I think because we have different levels. If it's very clear, it's there, you'll just do it.
Yes.
I'm arresting, to use the example, I'm arresting you for theft because I saw you do it.
Yeah.
That's fine. If it was someone told me, I go, right, I'm arresting you for theft because it's been alleged that blah, 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 blah. Done.
Yeah.
If it's a convoluted, so let's say an arrest inquiry that's been set up for you to attend, someone will have written down everything that you need to know.
Okay.
But you've always, everyone's got each other's back. The people who have been in longer in service will help you out.
Yeah.
If you're worried, you can call a sergeant up. So yeah, it's not there to test you or trip you up. The only thing is to make sure that your arrest is lawful.
Yeah.
And the reason, the way it's lawful is, I believe you have committed a crime. The details of the crime are this. The reasons I'm arresting, as I've said to you in other episodes, arrest might not be the right way or the necessary way or the most effective way.
Yeah.
But if it is, I'm arresting you for doing this at this time. These are the reasons for my arrest. And we have a list. We have, like, the police is full of mnemonics, but we have one called ID Cop Plan. I'm not going to bore you with what they all are, but they're the reasons, you know. So the grounds for your arrest, you've done it. Or you've alleged that you've done this. The reasons, to give you one of those of ID clock band investigations. So for a prompt and effective investigation under a recorded interview. If it's to do with drugs, also to, if it's theft or something, also to prevent further loss of property. Obstruction of the highway. If it's assault, to prevent further injury to someone. Simple as that. It's everything like that. If it's criminal damage, to prevent further damage to property.
Yeah.
You know. So there's a, I've given you a reason why I'm arresting you.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, it all sounds complicated, but it's like anything. It becomes muscle memory.
Yes.
I mean, last night, we, you know, obviously I can't go into the machinations of the job, but I went to an incident where someone had assaulted someone else. And literally we turn up. My colleagues had got there first, and they had the man. They were with the man because there was a threat that he had a knife on him. So they had every right to stop him and search him under what we call Section 1 of PACE. So basically, to see if he had any weapons on him. So they had him in handcuffs because the threat had been made that he had a knife. So that stops him getting anywhere near a knife.
Yeah.
He's been searched. When we turn up, people come up to us and said we saw him doing that to that person. So he was seen hitting someone. So therefore, we can then turn to him and say, I'm arresting you for assault because at this time on this day, you have been seen hitting someone.
Okay.
Simple as that. And the reasons for the arrest, prompt and effective investigation, because obviously he's at this stage saying, oh, they hit me first. Fine, that's fine. You can say that in an interview. And also because there's been an allegation that you have hit someone and have a knife to prevent harm to others. You know, simple as that.
Oh, wow. Let's say, for example, I'm not going to commit a crime, but, well, not, you know, obviously...
Not yet. The night is yet young.
Ex-BBC and, you know, things things that happened in the 70s happened in the 70s.
Yeah, but you would have been about five, so I'm a bit worried.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Let's say, for example, I were to steal someone's wallet or handbag.
Yep.
How do you prove that? What do you need in order to...
Well, if I've been told that you've been seen doing it,
yeah,
or we have enough evidence that it's been done, let's say CCTV of you going into a room and nicking it,
yeah,
I will arrest you on suspicion of theft.
Okay.
So you will be arrested. I've given you the grounds and everything that I spoke to about a minute ago, and you will go into custody. And then it is my duty, or whoever's taken over the case, because you can only be held, as we all know, in custody for 24 hours.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that people are kept for the full 24 hours. If there's no need for someone to stay in, they'll be out in half an hour.
Mm.
That's the mistake people, when they see these programs, it's like they think it's like Jack Bauer. It's like, it's like, we got 24 hours to prove that this man stole a lolly from Sainsbury's. We don't care. You know, it's all about processing. Nobody wants to keep people in custody for longer than they have to be. But so whilst I have you in custody, it's now down to my remit, or whoever's taken over the case, to go, right, so you've been told this CCTV of the Michael taking this handbag. So I or a colleague will go to the place and go, right, can I view the CCTV? Right, I've seen the CCTV. I can clearly see Michael nicking the handbag.
Yeah.
So I'll burn off that CCTV. I'll come back to the station. And in that situation, I will interview you. Because let's say you said, I didn't nick anything.
Mm.
I haven't got anything. You haven't found a handbag on me.
Yeah.
You searched my house. You searched me. There's no handbag. But then I will interview you and go, right, you're here. I will caution you again to say, whatever you say to me now in an interview can be used in evidence.
Why do you need to re-caution someone?
Because it's an interview process.
Okay.
That first caution is just during the arrest. Because, as I said, if I arrest you for assault...
Yeah.
And then you start going, no, he hit me first. He punched my wife. He did this, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That's a significant statement.
Yeah.
In interview, I'm cautioning the person again because I'm saying to them, what you are saying now is evidence.
Oh.
And the reason being that a lot of people, they forget what they've said if they're lying. It's called inference of truth. And also, if someone does the old no comment because they watch too much Law and Order, that again is inference of truth because you're not giving a defence.
Yeah.
So a jury might go, well, if you're not giving a defence. But, so to go back to the stealing of the handbag.
Or wallet. Chose,
or wallet, no, it's handbag. It's definitely handbag. I've seen your wardrobe.
They were Evers.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. But... Yeah, so I will interview you and I will say, right, it's been alleged that on this day, at this time, you went into so-and-so's room and nicked the wallet.
Yeah.
What do you think? Tell me in your words what happened.
Yeah.
And you might go, oh, I didn't nick it, blah, 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 you can't prove it, blah, blah. Have I got any money? Have I got any cards? Have I got the wallet? Blah, blah, blah. Do you find it, you know? And I go, right, I'm now going to show you exhibit number, which is CCTV of... Jack's off licence.
So let's say, for example, that there's no CCTV and you haven't found the handbag or wallet.
If there is no evidence to prove it, then no further action will be taken.
Okay.
If there's a possibility that evidence might be available but can't be got straight away, let's say the CCTV, the shop's closed for the weekend, then you would be released under investigation. So you would be released.
Yeah.
Dependent on the crime, there might be conditions put upon you. So,
okay.
If it's assault, not to go near that person. If it's of a domestic nature, not to go home. If it's shoplifting, not to go anywhere near that shop. Or if it's a chain of shops, not to go anywhere near those shops.
Okay.
And then it would be an offence if you broke any of those conditions. So breach of bail.
Okay.
Do
you need to have the handbag physically?
If enough, let's say it's all about evidence. Let's say there's no CCTV,
yeah.
But I have 4 statements saying they saw you take the handbag.
Okay.
So that's evidence.
Yeah.
Because 4 people have been willing to give a statement, therefore have been asked if they're willing to go to court.
Okay.
Let's say they've all said yes. So I have 4 witness statements saying they saw you with a handbag.
Okay.
And then you might look into, you know, a handbag is a bad example in this one because you wouldn't go into this much detail, but if you nicked a handbag and the handbag had $1 million in it,
yeah,
I might not be able to find the handbag, because if you have nicked it, you might burn it or got rid of it. But what I would do is I'd release you under investigation, but I'd have a look at your bank records.
Okay.
I'd have a look at your movements. If you had no money at all, and then the day after the handbag was stolen, you're booking your flight to Barbados.
As always.
Or all of a sudden, I noticed that Eva's wearing a brand new pair of shoes.
Oh, like every day.
Yeah. But do you know what I mean? It's all about evidence around there.
Okay. Yeah. I only ask that because when I was a kid, there was a roundabout near where I used to live. And there used to be cars coming round, parking up on this very quiet roundabout, yeah. Going behind the wall, and then guys coming out with, like, PlayStations and shit like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I, like, when I was doing a bit of work over at Crouch End, there was someone had stolen a wallet, but when they caught him, but they couldn't find the wallet.
Yeah.
And apparently he was, like, hiding them round a wall round the corner, so it wasn't on his person.
Yeah.
Is that standard?
Yeah. But the thing is, you get to know, I'm a response team officer, but there's neighbourhoods officers they have certain districts within their borough,
yeah,
that they police all the time. That's all they do, is look after their ward. So they get to know the local businesses,
yeah.
They get to know the local bars, they get to know the local restaurants. But the flip side of that, they also get to know the local junkies,
yeah.
The local pickpockets, the local gangs.
Yeah.
So they will know how these people work.
Yeah.
They will do things like this, you know, there'll be a niche or a crevice that they'll know if they go around there at a certain time, they'll find shed loads of drugs, or they'll find a couple of open wallets, you know. It's all about gathering intelligence and learning, yeah, the tricks of everyone that you deal with.
I guess everyone's a creature of habit, aren't they?
Everyone is.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, in the world of drugs, that's a complete creature of habit, because you need to get the next fix, so there's going to be times when you know where to go.
Well, what's the most rewarding part of your job? What do you really enjoy about being a copper?
I just like doing a good job.
Yeah?
There's nothing better than... And this is going to make me sound quite blasé, but there's nothing better than a good arrest.
Okay.
There's nothing better. Like, for argument's sake, a couple of nights ago, I assisted with a friend who had to deal with a drunk driver. And this guy was absolutely 3 sheets of the wind. And just, it feels good to get him off the road.
Yeah.
Because you know that if you don't, there's more chance he's going to plough in. Because these people never kill themselves. It's like they're made of Teflon. Mm. They'll plough into a young family or an elderly couple, write their car off, obliterate a family's life, and come out with a sore head. So it's really rewarding to get, again, sound like American 80s cop movie, scum off the streets.
Mm.
But it's also rewarding when you can, that very rare time you can return something from a burglary or just assure someone that they're safe. Again, you know, the other day going into a house where it was a concern, the person behind it, pardon me, Guinness burp, you know, that person might have passed away,
yeah,
and you go in and just found out that they're quite elderly with dementia and they'd taken their hearing aids out,
yeah,
and it's, you know, it's quite rewarding to just go in and go, no, you're all right, here's your family, everyone's, yes, all right, lovely,
yeah.
And also there's some shops that offer discounts to police, so that's always rewarding.
Well, that here's an interesting thing. So are there rewards?
I jest. We have certain schemes, almost like loyalty cards. One being the blue light card, where we will get money off certain shops. Nothing amazing. But yeah. There are some nice coffee shops that, you know, they'll offer you a free coffee. Nothing wrong with that.
Do you get to go to Arsenal matches to watch?
I, funnily enough, went to the last Arsenal home match working. For the first time in 3 years, I was in the ground and watched the whole match, and we got absolutely obliterated by Chelsea. So it's awful. Absolutely awful.
Has that kind of messed up your social life, being a cop who's on kind of weird multiple shifts?
Yes and no, because a lot of my friends are either self-employed or in the creative arts. So they're not really Friday, Saturday night out people anyway. It does sometimes ruin family gatherings and weddings and birthdays, because you have to think well in advance, going, right, when's your wedding? Right, I'm working the late shift on that Saturday, so I need to get it off. So, yeah. But no, not overly. I mean, obviously, it stopped me doing comedy. But,
yeah.
But that wasn't by rules. That wasn't work saying you can't perform comedy. It's just I realised I couldn't. Well, one, I wasn't that funny. You're meant to disagree, but...
Oh, well, I'll edit that in afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Fucker. But also, you know, it's just a nocturnal lifestyle. I couldn't maintain running around London, getting very merry till 2 or 3 in the morning, and then thinking, oh yeah, I've got to go and fight crime in the morning.
Hangovers? Do you have to pre-think those?
We're quite good. As I said, we have 2 earlies, 2 lates, 2 nights. So yeah. As a team, we normally go out after the second early. Okay. That means we finish about 4, go to the pub. We don't have to be in till 2 the following day, so you're normally all right. And obviously, when I'm on rest days, if I go out with friends or dates or whatever, funniest thing I've said in ages. You know, you can do what you like, because you don't have to be up in the morning. Do what you like. Don't be pervy. We have early house as well, which I was talking to you about. So at the end of a 6-day shift, we might finish at 7 in the morning and go to a pub at 8 o'clock in the morning and just start a night out at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely. What about social media? I guess because before you were quite prevalent and you were posting videos of you performing and we knew where you were, but now, does it have to change?
Well, I've set my privacy profiles a lot differently. And I've changed my name on Facebook.
Mm.
Purely just for safety reasons. I mean, up until very recently, I was married.
Mm.
And you don't really want, you know, people that they've seen you've done wrong by them, knowing who you are, where you live, that you're married, that you might have kids, that you live in a certain area. Because, you know, if you really piss someone off, they can find out where you live. And yeah, you know, I took all my comedy videos offline. They're all on DVDs done by Philip.
Oh, Philip, God bless him. Hello.
I would say if you're listening, Philip, but you might be in the room. I have no idea. I took all my comedy stuff offline. There's a few little straggly bits and a lovely picture of me with my Tosh Lyons moustache.
Oh.
But, yeah. So,
how do you cope with being a celebrity on Murder Mile?
Well, I find it's a fine line between batting off your female listeners with a shitty stick and batting off your male listeners with a shitty stick and also lying through my teeth. I deal with it, you know. I have my own line of shirts, I have mugs, you know. But because of the anonymity, I can get away with walking down the street, even though I know that everyone on that street, wherever I am, talking about me.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And one final question before we have another beer and we dive into some lovely
one final thing.
Lovely burgers with some halloumi cheese.
Halloumi cheese.
Nice. Going back to where we started with this, how do you feel you've changed as a person over the 4 years as a policeman? And are there any, an extra question as well, are there any advice that you would give yourself?
I've got 3 new tattoos. I've shaved the head for the first time in ages. I have lost shitloads of weight, mostly through stress.
Earring?
Yeah, no, the earring's come back. The earring was there in the first place. Oh, okay. It's come back.
Beard?
Yeah, basically a midlife crisis. I've had a midlife crisis. I mean, things in my life have changed. I sadly divorced while you know, since I've joined the job. I've learned a few more things. I've lost a few people. But I think these things would have probably happened, job or not, really.
Do you feel that you've changed as a person?
Yes. I think I've become a bit more responsible.
Okay.
Whether that's a good or a bad thing, you'll have to ask other people. But, yeah, I think I've become a bit more responsible, a bit more aware of other people's needs, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Just 'cause you're so hyper-alert all the time. What advice I would give? Oh, that's simple. I would turn around to myself. I'd go back more than 4 years. I'd go back to my 20s and say, fucking join the police, you silly prick. Why did it take you so long? Put that coke down and tell those prostitutes to go home.
I take it you really enjoyed being a copper.
I do. I enjoy it because it's the first time. I put it down purely to this, even though I could go on about how I feel better about rewarding, about fighting crime one crime at a time. I put it down simply to this. I wake up every morning that I need to go to work, and I want to go to work.
Yeah.
I don't mean, you know, I'm running out of the bed. If I've had a few too many the night before, I may not want to get out of bed. I may think, oh, I've got to go to work, but I will get up and I will want to be there. I've had other jobs where I've woken up and I've just gone, I can't be asked to go anywhere near that fucking office and deal with those pricks or that bar or whatever job it is. I genuinely want to be in work every day that I have to be there.
Great.
And no day is the same. And I look really good in black and white.
One final question. I'm literally like Columbo.
One final thing.
Or just one more thing. I love Columbo. Where do you see yourself in the future as a policeman?
Well, I've recently started acting up as sergeant.
Okay.
So I have taken a sergeant's exam a couple of times and failed it miserably.
You're really a police sergeant, Arsenal Guinness.
Well, I think acting police sergeant Arsenal Guinness is just too many.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm not officially acting up. I'm getting experience and I'm enjoying it. I will take the exam again in March of next year and hopefully pass. Third time lucky. I see my future that way. I like being in uniform. I like. That's not a kinky thing. I mean, I've done CID stuff. And I just like the day-to-day stuff of the response team. Unfortunately, if I go the route I want to go, I'll have to leave the borough I'm on. But that's just the nature of the beast, you know. I'm enjoying it. I'm of an age where I'm surrounded by people who are of a higher rank than me, who are younger than me. And I'm not resentful, but it sort of just makes me feel that I should have done this a long, long time ago. But the flip side of that, if I'd done it a long, long time ago, I wouldn't have met people like you.
Aww.
I wouldn't have enjoyed comedy. So, swings and roundabouts.
Well, God bless you, sir. God bless you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy diary to be interviewed for us for New Blue.
Again,
yeah, I kind of cocked up the first one. So thank you so much. We are now going to finish our beers and we're going to have some burgers.
Yep, cheers.
Bless you, Bert.
Good luck, everyone. Keep them peeled. Don't do anything I wouldn't do in the last 4 years. Do everything I did before then, because I had some fun. But thanks for your time.
Stay safe, everyone. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
So there we go. Hope you enjoyed that, folks. That was part 3 of New Blue. Lovely. Hope you enjoyed that.
Thank you so much to Paul for giving me time to sit down with him so we could kind of go through all these interviews and just kind of really dive into just the basics of what it's like to be a policeman. It sounds fascinating to me. It really did. So I hope you really enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it, hopefully I might do interview some other people coming up soon. Sorry if my head sounds a bit weird today. I have a chest infection and a cold, and I'm recording this before I get really, really flu-y. So, I'm not concentrating that well today. So, let's dive into some quiz questions, ladies and gentlemen. So, question number one. What can an officer do if he knows an offender during the arrest? So, what can an officer do if he knows the offender during the arrest? Question two. What is the police expression for urinating? I'm sure other people use the same expression as well, but this is just kind of a nice one. Question three. How many days on and how many days off are Paul's shifts? Or any policeman for that matter. Question four. What are the three main types of courts that Paul has attended? Question five. Which is the three types of court? Let's rephrase that question, Michael. As always, I've written terrible questions. Question five. Which of these three types of court does Paul prefer? That's better. That makes more sense. Question six. My brain's all over the shop. I haven't had coffee. What is going on today? Oh, my Lord. Question six. What was one of the crimes Paul attended? Michael, read this properly. Question six. What was one of the crimes Paul attended to the night before the recording of New Blue? There we go. Question seven. What does Paul find most rewarding about his job? As always, you could just, as in episode one, you could just put going to the pub in every question. Question eight. Oh, God. What is early house? Well, there we go. Question nine. What did we have on our burgers? Obviously, we had ketchup and jalapeno peppers, but what was the main thing that we had on our burgers? And question 10, what advice would Paul give to his younger self? So there we go. Hope you all enjoyed that. Over the next couple of weeks, so we've got 10 weeks coming up of Murder Mile to bring us to the end of the year. I was going to do as a nice big multi-part series to kind of end the season, but the research kind of got to a bit of an impasse. There's a couple of holes that it's going to take me a long time to kind of fill out. So we're not going to go to the multi-part series to end this year with Murder Mile. But I've got 10 really good episodes already lined up, all researched and ready to go. I just need to write them and record them. There's a couple of two-parters. Most of them are kind of one-parters. But we are going to end with a two-parter, which is one that I've been working on for a very long time. And I thought to myself, maybe it's the year to do it, to roll it out. So I'm not going to tell you what it is. It will pop up and it will be a little surprise for everyone. Whoa, exciting, exciting. So let's do the answers to the questions. And then I can have a coffee and cough my lungs out. I really thought this was a tonsillitis. I felt it coming on the weekend, so I did a lateral flow test and it came back negative. And then 4 days later, I did another lateral flow test thinking, oh God, it's bound to be because I've got a headache. I've got a bit of a cough. I'm a bit wheezy on the chest. I thought, oh God, here we go. Came out negative again. It seems to be, I thought it was tonsillitis because I get tonsillitis every 2 years. It seems to crop up every so often, especially in winter. But I think it's just one of those winter bugs has crept in because the temperature's gone bleh, like that. So, I'll pop off to the pharmacist later on and grab some drugs. Yeah, the good shit. And gargle with salt water. Oh, delicious. So, let's do the answers to the questions, if I can read these bloody things properly. Don't forget, you can just answer, goes to the pub, and that suffices as an answer. Question one. What can an officer do if he knows the offender during the arrest? He can recuse himself. Or go to the pub. Question number two. What is the police expression for urinating? I'm sure loads of other people use this. It's to self-relieve. Question number three. Shifts. How many days on and how many days off are Paul's shifts? Currently, they are 6 days on and 4 nights off. I would find that really frustrating. I remember working there as a kid. I worked in a car plant. And we used to do the continental shift, which is, I still can't remember it today. It was like 2 nights on, 3 nights off, 3 days on, 2 nights off. And you were just, your body clocks all over the shop. I remember coming in the morning at like 7 a.m. and eating my dinner before I went to bed. It was like, oh, what day is it? So yeah, that must be exhausting. Question four. What are the three main types of courts Paul has attended? They are magistrates, coroner, and crown. Question five. Question five. Which of those three types of court does Paul prefer? Paul said he preferred crown court. Question six. What was one of the crimes Paul attended to the night before the recording? It was an assault. Question seven. What does Paul find most rewarding about his job? Of course, you could always say go into the pub. Doing a good job / a good arrest. Question eight. Here we go. What is early house? Surely everyone got this one. It's going to the pub at 8 a.m. after a night shift. Yeah, nice. Question nine. What did we have on our burgers? It was halloumi cheese. I've got a bit into halloumi cheese at the moment. Very nice. I had mozzarella again the other night and I was like, oh, it's just wet and pathetic. But halloumi grilled, oh, delicious. Question 10. What advice would Paul give his younger self? And that was, of course, join the police force. So there we go, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed that. That was New Blue, the three-part series. Next week, we will be back into the regular episodes of Murder Mile. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you to everyone for the lovely feedback about New Blue. It's always weird rolling out something new to kind of break up the season. And, you know, some people don't like different. But a lot of people have got in touch and said that they really enjoyed it. I think because it is different, it's not, as I said before, Paul kicking down doors and telling us about all these great cases. It's the little details, the little questions that we just think that we know, but actually we don't know. So, yeah, I thought it was quite interesting. So thank you so much. That was New Blue. Stay safe, folks. Lots of love. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.